welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smithson blooms in athletics and sports. Hey, I'm excited, as always, to be here with you all. And actually, today is a day that we have had in the works for some time now. And I just got notification that if I don't bring her on immediately, I might lose her again. So I'm going to hold my Donnie Carson dialogue to the end. And so, and as well as my resources for the day. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest for the hour immediately so we don't lose this time. Very excited to bring to the garden Brandi Stewart of Texas Tech, Executive Senior Associate, SWA. Welcome to the garden, Brandi.
Good morning. That's quite the welcome. If only that were the welcome every time I walked into my office, I might be guaranteed to have a good day every day. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Oh, this is great. And, you can always just play the replay all the time and just hit the button.
Yeah, you're right. I might have to do that on the tough days.
Yes, yes. That's what we hope to do, is bring sunshine and blooms to everybody's day. Girl, you almost missed me one more time.
I know it. Listen, I'm traveling to go be with my softball team, and they changed my flights on me. And so you know how it is. This, you know, these days, travel isn't as convenient as it used to be. So I appreciate you being flexible, and I'm glad that I'm able to still have this time with you in the garden. I have been waiting for this, as you've said, for a very long time. So I'm glad that we're able to make this happen this morning.
Okay, so let's not delay anymore. Tell everybody your journey from college to your current position.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so I'm originally from Southern California, and I wound up playing softball at Florida State. I wanted to have a different experience, and I got it. And so moved from Southern California to Tallahassee, and little did I know that that decision would totally change the trajectory of my life. I played softball at Florida State for my first, for the 4 years that I was there for undergrad. And while I was there, I had some, you know, trials and tribulations as any young freshman would have. And really what kept me at FSU was the people, the athletic department, the athletic director, Dave Hart at the time, and his staff were just phenomenal. And they poured into me as a young woman and showed me that, that Florida State was much more than softball school, that Tallahassee was a great community to live in. And from their mentoring and just from the relationships that we built, I wound up having a passion for wanting to help student athletes kind of have those same experiences. And so after my undergraduate was over and I graduated with a degree in communications, I was offered an opportunity to stay on to be the graduate assistant in student services under Pam Overton at the time, who was just a phenomenal force in my life. And so I stayed on as a grad student, left, thought that I was going to move to Atlanta, live my best life, and work for the Braves or the Falcons, because why wouldn't either of those organizations want to hire me to do their community relations? And then life set in and reality set in, and I realized that it wasn't going to be that easy to get a job. And so I wound up moving back home and living with my parents until I found a path for me. I was working at Nordstrom for a while. I was just in the process of entering their management program when Dave Hart called me and told me about a job that was opening up at the ACC office in championships. And so I said, I don't know anything about championships. And he said, you played sports. They've got an infrastructure that can help you. Just apply for the job. See what happens. And so I did, and I got the job. I was the assistant director of championships at 23. I oversaw 14 sports and 13 championships. It was a wonderful experience. Got to meet just really great administrators throughout the ACC conference and within the conference office. But it was humbling, too. I wasn't old enough to rent my own car, so my administrative assistant had to rent my car and for me. It was a mess, but Jenny Barrett was somebody who really helped me grow as an administrator. Enjoyed my time there, but realized that I wanted to be on campus and wanted to be around student-athletes every day, so I went back to Florida State, worked there for about a year, got an opportunity to then go to Alabama after Karen Lee left to go to Ball State, and so I sat in her chair as the director of their life skills program for a little less than a year, and then Florida State called and asked me if I wanted to come back, and, you know, when your alma mater calls, you come back running, and so I did that for about 4 years. I worked at Florida State as an associate athletic director, overseeing student services, and I was a sport administrator for women's soccer, men's and women's tennis, and volleyball, and sand volleyball when we started our sand volleyball program there. And then I got burnt out. I was at Florida State for about 4 years, and I was burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. And so I thought about just leaving the business altogether, staying in sports, but maybe trying high school sports. And so I went back to California, and I worked for the California Interscholastic Federation. I did that for about 3 years. And while it was a wonderful job, and I was back home with my family and friends and living by the beach, I was so bored. I missed the hectic hustle and bustle of college athletics. And so the job opened up at UCF. I got a call about their SWA job there when Coach O'Leary was the head football coach and the athletic director at the time, and took a chance. And so I then was at UCF for 6 years and ended my career there as a deputy athletic director for student athlete success when I got a call about this job here at Texas Tech. And you know, after getting to know Kirby Hoquette and the executive staff here, we just decided to make a run for it. And so I've been here now for a year today. This is my one-year anniversary here at Texas Tech, where I oversee our sport administrator program, our diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging programming, our leadership development department. And then I'm the sport administrator for women's basketball, women's soccer, and softball. So all of that is the journey from where it all started. I started from Cerritos, and now I'm here.
Girl, I didn't think you were that old to have all those experiences. Girl.
I started early.
Oh, yeah, I can relate. I started at 22.
Yeah,
22, yeah, so... Wow. And my thread that I keep seeing is I got a call. I got a call. And so how do you, for those who are in a position waiting for a call, how do you get a call for these opportunities?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't any deliberate strategery, if you will, at the beginning of my career. I showed up. When I was a student athlete, I showed up, and I was very, very fortunate to have a champion in Dave Hart who really poured into me and navigated some waters for me and introduced me to some really great people. And then from that moment, I realized that relationships were key. And so, you know, we hear a lot and we talk a lot about networking, which I think is important to get to know people and have people know you. But it's also just the quality of those relationships, who those people know, and then how you show up, right, and how you produce. Mm-hmm. And so I think I took my work very seriously. I took my relationships with people very seriously, and I always tried to make people proud. And open up space for the next opportunity, whatever that might look like. And so I did a couple of things. One, I just got to know people who I thought were very influential folks in the spaces that were important to me. But then I also profiled people who had jobs that I wanted, and I got to know them, to understand what they did, what was important to them, how they navigated their career. And then lastly, I said yes a lot to presentations, to facilitations, to just opportunities to get out there and meet people, but also be able to kind of showcase the ability to facilitate conversations and to navigate and negotiate, you know, different relationships and conversations with folks presenting information. So had to be very comfortable in saying yes in a lot of those spaces to then open up opportunities to receive some of those phone calls.
That's what I really love, the fact that you say yes a lot. That is really important. I'm trying to get women to express themselves more, let people know what your specialized knowledge is. And so where did you get the courage to feel like you had something to share to say yes?
Yeah, again, I'm incredibly blessed. My parents, I grew up with an older sister, just two of us, two girls. And my sister's 3 years older than me. She's a lawyer. Like I said, I was a communications major. So you can imagine it wasn't very quiet in our home. But we were always encouraged to speak our mind, but to have an educated opinion, right? And to not just speak to speak, but to have that confidence to do that. And so, and I'm a coach's kid. So always being at the forefront and leading and speaking and kind of guiding people along the way has been a part of my journey and part of what I've just seen and what's been modeled in front of me. But I really think I blossomed during my time at Florida State and having conversations with Dave Hart and Pam Overton. I mean, I remember she would just throw me into the fire. I was getting ready for, I was our student athlete advisory council president, and we had our end of the year athletics banquet, as we always do, athletic department banquet. And so one day we were getting ready for that. Our chat group was helping our administrators get ready for that the day of. And she said, "You know what? I think you're going to be the MC tonight." And I looked at her like she had five heads. I said, "What do you mean? That's just not my job." And she said, "No, it is your job. You can do it. I know you can do it." And you know, just having people have confidence in me to go out and speak on things that I was educated on and comfortable with sharing, really just kind of grew that space of comfort for me. So I like talking to people. I feel comfortable talking to people and sharing and, you know, bringing out opportunities for other people to be able to share too. But I think that's where it came from, was just people who continued to push me, pour into me, and affirm that, yes, your voice matters. And so I've been very fortunate in that way.
Well, I'm looking at your journey, and I'm trying to remember, when did I meet you and where were you when I met you? Because I mean, I know Pam. Pam and I served on what was called Life Skills Committee back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I did a lot. I think I did the same thing to my students. Dr. Linda Bell, who is assistant AD at Fort Valley, I did that to her a lot. And then even in the conference office, I did that a lot to the women. And he was like, "I'm going to throw you out there. You're going to swim. You ain't going to drown. I'm going to be there telling you which way to go." And so that's a blessing. Well, I got lots of questions, so I need to jump right into them. Adina Scott Young of Assistant AD. Oh, you know her?
Yes, we were on that national FAC together, so we go way back. I'm very fond of Ardina, and I'm so proud and happy for her and her journey.
You know what? When I downloaded your picture, I had to go back because I thought, I was like, y'all look so much alike. And I was like, do I have the right person? Then I was like, okay, yeah, this is from her email. I was like, wow. So that's interesting that you have you ever heard that before?
I don't know that we've heard it before. I mean, when we were younger and we were, you know, running around in our stack crew, we were kind of thick as thieves. But at that point in time, I think we were just, you know, more focused on our work than, you know, maybe being twinsies or looking alike, but I can see the favor there for sure.
Oh, wow. So she says, how do you handle negative self-talk if you have it? And what things do you do or say to yourself to combat any aspect of imposter syndrome?
Ooh, okay, so negative self-talk. I have a very good group of other female administrators, and I have some male friends too, who help talk me off the ledge. I have been fortunate enough to be able to recognize those moments, and I'll just call. I'll call one of those people in my circle and say, okay, I need you to talk me off the ledge. I'm having a moment. And being able to be vulnerable and being able to have somebody who can affirm that, no, you're right, you're doing what you need to do, or check you, like, hey, okay, yeah, let's unpack that for a minute and let's turn a corner. You know, here are the things that you call, Brandy, what were you doing? What does that look like? So they keep me humble, but they also are very uplifting and remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing or what I'm capable of doing. So they help me there. I'm not at a point where I can always turn the boat back around myself if I'm having some negative self-talk. So I have really great people who are in that boat with me that can help me get back to a place of center and just forward movement. And then the imposter syndrome. So, you know, I mean, as an athlete, a lot of times, you know, we would always talk about fake it till you make it. And I have to remind myself often to just sit back. And it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to be learning in a space, even sitting in my chair as an executive senior associate AD. So I try not to pretend to be something that I'm not. And I set myself up to do that very early in interview processes to tell people, like, this is who I am. This is what I've got. And I'm authentically me. And if I don't know something or if I don't have an opinion yet about something because I don't have enough information, I feel comfortable enough to say that. I understand now in my career and where I've come, but that's okay. That is okay to be in a room with my peers and say, like, tell me more about that. Or, like, I need to take some time to think about it and come back with a better opinion or a better idea. So that's how I try to navigate and negotiate those moments if they ever come up. I hope that answers the question, Ardina.
That's good. Yeah, because I actually responded to her, even though it was a question for you. I told her that when I work with clients in my strategy sessions, I use a tool called the Four Agreements. And one of your last comment about asking questions, that goes to one of the Four Agreements, which is don't make assumptions. And how do you combat making assumptions? You ask questions. And so that was great. And then the other thing I told her, which is exactly what you said at first, which is community. Community. That's how you fight the bug of depression, because it can't grab a hold in isolation. You can't have a bad thought and a good thought at the same time. So if you're around other people that can lift you up, the bad thought won't come into play. And so imposter syndrome is something that is common, and it's important to know how to manage it, which is why we talk about these tools to manage it. So great answer. So the next question is from Amber Porter, athletic director for Bryan County, Georgia, which is a parks and rec position. All right. Athletics is often viewed as a male-dominated field. What challenges have you overcome on your to be an administrator, and what advice would you give female professionals looking to make their mark in the field?
Yeah, it is definitely male dominated. You know, I have utilized, again, my network of male champions, and we're still in a day and age where, you know, unfortunately you need a male. And as a black female, I have found I need a white male a credible white male in my corner, in my circle, to be able to help navigate through some spaces and in some of the rooms that I don't have access to. But, you know, I'm good at what I do. And because I know that I'm good at what I do, I'm confident when I'm sitting in rooms with other people. I don't feel like I have to prove that I'm good, but I'm not going to let anybody tell me something that's not true about me or about what I've got going on. I always walk in being a team player with a humble heart, but I'm also very steadfast in, you know, my opinions or my thoughts, and I'm willing to share, and I sit at the table with everybody else. But, you know, it's a really interesting, and I'll just tell a very quick story that so I have a 5-year-old son, almost 5. And when I got pregnant, I remember just talking to my family and just thinking like, oh, man. And I was super excited about having a child and becoming a mom. But, you know, there was some trepidation, and my family was like, what's going on? I said, well, now people are going to see me as a woman. And the athletic department and my executive staff, and they're like, well, Brandy, you've always been a woman. I said, yes, but I've been a woman who is mobile. I've been a woman who could be one of the guys who could go out for drinks, who could always be available at the drop of a dime to go run and go do something or go have dinner or go be in spaces where they're having conversations. And now that I'm pregnant, it's going to make them pause for a minute. And it was the first time that I actually thought about the dynamic of being one of the only women in a space full of men, and then being a double minority, right? Being a Black woman in a space full of the majority of white men. And so I had to figure out how to navigate those spaces. But again, just being authentically who I am and being confident in who I am and what I bring to the table totally overcompensated for any of my anxiety about the fact that, like, they were now realizing that I'm a woman and I'm capable of having a child and carrying a person. And so I would say that, number one, have your group of champions that can help you navigate some spaces. I still have to call some of my male friends and be like, listen, I've got to go in and this is what's going on with this situation. I'm trying to make sure that, you know, I'm heard. Help me in my presentation of what I'm about to say. And so just being strategic, right, about the message, not necessarily what I'm saying, but how I'm saying it to make sure that it's received. And then just continue to climb. And as Black females in college sports, we are a commodity right now, too. So I would just, and we have been for a long time. So I take advantage of that, too. That's not lost on me, that there needs to be diversity at the table and there needs to be women and women of color at the table. And so very capable to be there, and there are spaces that are opening up for us. Step on into them and take it and run with it. And that's what I've tried to do in my spaces. I own who I am, what I look like, where I come from, and I use that in conjunction with my abilities to continue to navigate through my professional career.
That is an excellent answer. But I'm going to ask you some follow-up questions behind that one, because there are some truths to unconscious biases for motherhood. And it's interesting because I pushed back on my student-athlete yesterday. I gave them a project of promoting our softball team, and each one was assigned a player. And one of the players, I had two softball players in my class, and they were like, oh, you know, she's out because she's having a baby. And I said, okay. I said, but we can't make a decision for her that she doesn't want to be interviewed. She's on the roster. Let her make that decision. I said, it's just like anybody who's out for a medical leave, you know. And I said, if she was a guy, we would write the story, the guy has a child. Why we're not going to talk about it? Because she has a child. So, again, it's unconscious bias. You think you're doing it to protect your teammate. But how do you know this is not a story that she wants to tell, you know, And again, I told them, see, they don't know about the days back in the day that you would lose your scholarship if you were pregnant.
Right.
They don't even know about those days. And so I'm saying, I had to learn that it was an unconscious bias because that's how I was trained. Now, I never took a student-athlete scholarship, but we had discussion. And we had, and they would say, well, I'm going to get back in shape and I'm going to be back on the team, that kind of thing. So they knew there was a possibility that they would have lost a scholarship. And so, and me not having kids, but being an administrator with women, with kids, and having the uncomfortable conversation of your child can't travel with us. It's not my personal thought, but the university says of the insurance. And so can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, there are a lot of unconscious biases. And, you know, what I have found is, again, I try to be upfront with people as much as I can because that helps me be successful and it helps manage their expectations. And so I'm a single mom, and there are times when I have to leave work a little early to go get my son to go do something, or somebody in my village is going to do that. Or, I mean, he's traveling with me right now. We're going to a softball tournament in Florida. I bring him around quite frequently to events, and so that our student athletes can see that, like, yes, you can juggle motherhood and working and being present. You can do all of those things. And we have these student athletes that have children at Texas Tech, and we welcome them to bring them. I mean, to your point, there are certain things we can't do based on insurance and everything else. But when we have events that we're couching as family events, bring your people. Bring all your people. You are all here. You're welcome here as you are. And so I try to model behavior that I want young women to see because, you know, for a very long time, I kept myself from thinking about having a family early on in my career because I thought that was going to keep me from continuing to grow and progress in my career. Mm-hmm. And I want to just show men and women that you can do it. And I've been fortunate since having Parker. Danny White was my athletic director at UCF when I had Parker, and he's a father of four, and Kirby is a father of two, and so they get it, right? They understand the importance of family and the importance of having a balance when we're working and we have families and young kids, and they're always welcome and invited to things that are, you know, that my bosses have done in the past too. So I think that helped hopefully break down some of those biases and the assumptions that, oh, well, they can't do this or they can't come to this event because they probably have to go take care of their family or they've got to do, mm-hmm. no, ask me. And if I can't go, mm-hmm. then I can't go. But ask me first because I'll figure it out, just like y'all figure
right.
it out. You know, and I had to have some tough conversations with some of the people when I first had my son, you know, with some of my male counterparts, like, listen, I do what you do at work every day, and then I also go home and do what your wife does at home. So, like,
amen.
Chill. You know, have some perspective. It's fine. Everything's going to work out. We're all showing up and doing our job.
Beautiful. Girl, if you ain't got a backbone, all right. but let me ask you this other question. Again, I'm helping some other people out. Did you have that conversation during the interview process about being able to bring your child? Because, yeah, I've talked to human resource people, and I said, you got to carry out the policy, but you also need to educate your people. And then tell your people, I mean, you got to educate your people, the people up front who are making the policies. Like, look, it's a new day. You need to evolve. These are the schools that have these policies. And then number two, you need to, as a human resource person, let's be honest, human resource people work for the institute that they represent. It makes it seem like human resources for the people there that they're serving, but let's just be honest, they represent the people, the name beside their name, comma. But you need to be looking at what the policies, if this, you can't get upset if you didn't know it. You know, you need to know what the policies are. And then you need, did you ask the question in the interview process?
Yes, I did. It was, and you know, I had questions and statements, right? So my statements were, my family comes first for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want y'all to know that I'm here to do my job, but if something happens with my family, then I've got to go take care of my family, and I will still continue to take care of my job. I have a child. I'm a single parent, so what does that look like? Are there opportunities for him to be able to travel with me? He won't travel with me everywhere. I've got systems. I've got people in place that can help me, but there might be some times I would like for him to come with me. Is what does that look like? And so I absolutely ask all of those questions up front, because if I don't, then I'm doing my future employer a disservice, and I'm doing myself a disservice, and I'm failing my family too. So I absolutely want everybody to be transparent and understand what they're getting if, you know, it works out for the job opportunity. I think we have to do that, because people are going to give you what they've got up front. And so if you don't get it on the front end, whether that's salary, whether that's answers to some of your questions, you know, then we find ourselves in a bind that we may not be able to get out of if we wind up taking jobs and we don't ask really important questions on the front end. And people are willing to work with you. If they want you, they'll work with you. They'll find ways to help you.
That's the key right there. If they really want you, they will work with you. You might as well find out now.
Yes.
Don't be fearful of the unknown. Get it all out. So
absolutely.
I got two more questions. Yes. I got two more questions. Kelsey Carter, athletic marketing and special events coordinator at Lake Forest College. When did you know, how did you know you were ready for the next step in athletics, i.e. going from coordinator to assistant AD or AD to associate AD?
I think when I get to a spot where I am doing my job well and I'm on autopilot and I can and I can function and continue to take on new responsibilities while still handling my initial responsibilities, that's when I feel like, okay, let me do a little more digging. But I also have to assess what the next spot looks like, and am I ready for that? So I've got to take really great account of what I'm doing, how well I'm doing it, but then also what would my next step be, and have I done enough? Have I left this current position better than I found it so that I can move on to the next? And that's not just like from a work function perspective. It's also from like a maturity perspective. How am I carrying myself? Am I learning more in meetings? Am I advocating more in meetings? All of those different things I kind of take into account to see if I'm ready for what is next. And if I look at that next step and I think like, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that, then I assess, well, are those things that are attainable or are those things that I have to learn? Can I learn them on the fly or do I need to learn them before I go into the position? And so I have to do some assessing there from that perspective. But the first indicator is if I'm killing my job function to the point where people are giving me more opportunities to do things, and I'm also doing those well. Those are my preliminary indicators.
Love it. So, you know, this is a garden, and we try to plant seeds, and I believe weeds are seeds. Share a book that has assisted you in your leadership.
The latest one that has assisted me is Atomic Habits by James Clear. It is a phenomenal book about just the habits that we build. And I've been living by this quote for the last quarter or so, that we don't rise to the levels of our goals. We fall to the levels of our system. And so that's really made me take a step back and think about what are the systems that I have in place in my life? Not just work, but in my life, that are helping me be successful. And do I have sustainable systems that can help me continue to grow and succeed? So those are the kinds. That's probably my favorite book that I've read. But I also love the Principle of the Path That was a really great book for me too that I read. And again, it all talks about intentionality. It talks about intentionality. It talks about forethought and leading your personal life and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Those things are really important. If you can't take care of things at home, then you're not going to be able to take care of things at work.
Wow. Do you know I am currently doing the audiobook of Atomic Habits? I just started on Tuesday of last week. Isn't that ironic?
I did the audiobook too, and I was rewinding stuff, and then I went back and bought the book so I could highlight spaces too.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that too because habits and being aware of your habits and routine and tracking it. So I now have a tracker about the new habits that I'm trying to create. So that's phenomenal. And the second book was Principles of the Past, did you say?
Yes, Principle of the Past, P-A-T-H. And that's a really great book.
Oh, The Past, okay. I haven't heard of that one, so I'm going to check that out. Well, it sounds like you're in movement, so I just want to say thank you so much for dropping into the garden. I appreciate you, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and I apologize for the travel component of the conversation today, but I had so much fun. Thank you for having me.
You're so very welcome, and have a safe trip.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
Yes. And so we're going to take really a short break here in the Chat in the Garden. And when we return, I'll share some more resources.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student-athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student-athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Now, that was a wonderful chat. I mean, she touched on so many pieces, relationships. We talked about the unconscious bias of motherhood. And lastly, at the end, oh, my gosh, one of the things is she just hit me in between the eyes. If you don't have your personal life straight, it's going to affect your professional life. And be honest, most of us, we're going to stick with what is already successful. Even she said it. She had a concern that her personal life, her personal choices, were going to change the perception of what was thought of her on professional side, and that was guiding her decisions. But it seems that she took this journey in life that she began to change her mindset, number one, and she continues to be a lifelong learner by reading books that affirm where she is guiding her ship, which is family first, and she's living her truth. And so I think that is great, and that's one reason why I'm really glad that we share resources here inside the garden. And if you are a member of the Facebook group, you will find this morning I posted an article, Finding Sisterhood in Higher Ed. And ironically, this was an article posted in the Ohio State University on their personal page, on that, or their school page. And it was an article written at the first of the month about five women, black women in higher ed at The Ohio State. And I thought it was so well written that I thought I would share it in the garden. And again, my hope is that you find the principles that they're saying in this article here, and a place to go when you feel as if you're the only one and you don't have a safe place to ask a question. Even if you don't ask the question in the feed, you can message the person or try to contact that person and say. I always say the garden, whether it's the podcast or the Facebook group, is a bridge to where you need to get to, meaning you could contact the person individually, email them, I heard or I saw your comment. Can we elaborate on that? And honestly, that's why I do it. It's twofold. I want to be able to highlight you to the masses, and I also want to give each one of our listeners a place where they can go to go get what they need. And like today, oh my goodness, I think for the seasoned administrator, you guys stopping today, for the young administrator who is navigating the male-dominated world, and that is majority-driven as well, that you got something that you need, some ask questions, ask educated questions. That's what I gathered, and that was key. But for those who have a desire for more community, we both mentioned that community helps with the imposter syndrome piece. I invite you to join the Advance Academy. That's our membership portal where we provide resources and networking and community. And we meet every third Sunday at 9 p.m. So this Sunday we will meet, and we provide really good support for each other. You know, people can get on the hot seat and say, I'm dealing with this. And then you can bring updates. I took y'all's advice, and this is how this went down. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm really glad that they find what they need inside the Advance Academy, and more importantly, that the women are advancing. I try to promote that inside the garden and show. So when I have the hashtag Advanced Academy, these are the members in there. In addition to meeting every third Sunday at 9 p.m., there's a do-it-yourself type training resources. That's a webinar and webinar style. It's inside on a website called Thinkrific, and that's really when you sign up for the Advanced Academy, you're paying through that vehicle. You get immediate access to training. And one of the things I just heard Brandy say, she said, she used the word strategy a great deal. And in the academy, we talk about being a strategic chick. We talk about having queen's moves. And that's one of the things that she talked about when she talked about going to her community and asking male counterparts, you know, I'm about to face this. How you think I should strategically attack this, and what point should I make? That's what being a queen move is utilizing all pieces on the board, so all resources on your board. But let's be honest, the queen on a chessboard is the most powerful piece on the chessboard, especially when she's centered. Okay, so you really need to know, number one, how to get centered. And that's one of the things that that we cover inside the Advanced Academy. And getting centered is, honestly, coming together every third Sunday and getting centered to say, hey, am I on the right track? Am I seeing this wrong? And it's really, I love it. And so that's two things you get. So number one, the networking every third Sunday. Secondly, you have immediate access to over 30 training, okay? Immediate access. When you purchase, you get immediate access to all of this over the years. As soon as I have our live webinars, and if I have an expert, I have a lot of experts come in, and we talk about skill set. See, inside the podcast, we talk about career path. But when we do the Advanced Academy, you actually get some skill set training on different areas, communication, again, being strategic about, you know, how do you do that. And then you have, again, community to help you, let you know you're not alone. And then lastly, which this is the part I love the most, is I share a leadership ebook every quarter. So when you are paying membership, that's really what you're paying for, is being a lifelong learner together. And so this quarter, I purchased Ricky Smart. It's a book that I am working from and I'm teaching from in the next quarter. And it's powerful. You hear me? You know, okay, this is the third time I done heard the book about Atomic Habits. I might touch on that in the upcoming next quarter. But this book is so good, especially for both generations. So if you're a veteran, it's saying you need to go get that Ricky Smart, that feel again, that newness. You need to become a lifelong learner because somehow or another when you're a veteran in the space, you have the mindset, which is a fixed mindset. Oh, we've done this before. Don't need to try this. Honestly, new technology has kind of passed you by. Nothing wrong with having a young person take care of, let's say, how to schedule, how to use a scheduler. But if you don't become a rookie about it and have a rookie mindset, that young person may take another opportunity, and then you're sitting there, you don't even know how to open up your calendar. So you got to keep the rookie mindset, you know, the wisdom an experience you have is great, but if you don't keep a rookie mindset, you're not going to stay relevant. And then you're going to be really bitter because you kind of figure out, how did that pass me by? So with the ever-changing situation that we have now, things are so fluid. You're so rigid, like, okay, this change has rocked your world, all right? And honestly, if you take on a new task, it will renew you. It will renew you, number one. And then, again, rookie smart is what people are looking for. I think it was during the pandemic, you know, I partnered with Dr. Carwell, and we did a series of trainings, and he works for a search firm. And the search firm was talking about what were universities looking for in presidents and top executives. And the one thing that they were looking for were executives that were able to be flexible, could deal with change very well. And so apparently, you know, top executives, presidents, have got a veteran mindset and they have wisdom, but what people are looking for, how you take that wisdom and then how can you be open to flexibility of new learnings and technology, that's what they're looking for. So it's really important. On the other side, we have our young people who are the rookies. And they, in today's time, there may be a probational period, but it's very short-lived, meaning you can add to the conversation immediately if you prepare yourself and have the confidence that you know how to use some things. There, recently, I was working with a athletic conference, and out of the staff, there was one person that was technically inclined and could get some things done. But twofold, she was the only person who knew how. And I said, well, you're going to have to train everybody. And she was kind of like, you know, I don't have time. I said, well, you're going to have to talk it out because otherwise you're going to become overwhelmed. Share the load. And we talked about using project management tools. I said, if you can share that with the secretary, then that frees you up, and then you don't feel as if everything is on you. Again, I was talking to someone who's like the veteran and the wisdom piece, but also sharing, hey, a young person is going to know how to be able to do some things much quicker than you do, utilize them, bring them up into the fold. That's what Rookie Smart did. Embracing change, being excited about change. That's one reason my workshop now I do for staff retreat. It's not about change management. It's about what? Being an explorer. And the title of the workshop is called Our Playing Field is Expanding. And so knowing that and having that perspective is the key. So these are all the things that I talk about inside the Vance Academy. And you get a chance to ask me questions and bond with everybody. So if this is something that you're interested in, go to advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. Again, go to advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. And we did hear our commercials, but I do want to bring this to your attention that our collegiate coach, Jolie Robinson, has this to say. She says, it's time to take control of your own health by getting more fruits and vegetables into your body. Bridge the gap between what you eat and what you should eat. Contact her at Stepping2Win at 980-298-2231. Or, again, that's 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. That's stepping and the number 2win.com. And then we have Surviving the Light, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. This is a great resource because our student athletes now can earn money without becoming a professional athlete. I think this is a great resource to put on your bookshelf. You can find this book on Amazon in three different formats, paperback, audio, and ebook. I am excited about taking the book Success is My Major by Aisha Foy with me on one of my speaking engagements. I just secured a speaking engagement to some middle school students in my hometown, Sussex, Virginia. And I asked them, I said, well, beyond me leading a workshop, you know, can I bring a resource? And he thought it was my book. And I said, yeah, I got some magazines and things like that. But it is a mixed crowd, and they're not all student athletes. So I said, I want to use one of my partners, media partners' book, Success is My Major. And I'm buying it in bulk so that I can provide this as a part of my training that I'm giving at the school. And so if you want to purchase the book, go to successmajor.com. I'm sure that you can be able to ask for bulk purchases as well. And also, while you're doing the bulk purchases, please, go and contact me if you'd like to get the magazine Significance in Athletics and Sports to your female athletes. It would be great for them for March. I am taking orders now. Again, they can purchase in bulk of 10 at $9 each. Email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info, and I'll be glad to send you issue 1 and 2 or both. So let us get this into the hands of our next generation. And that said, we come to our closing hour. I want to thank Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for being my eyes and ears doing every podcast. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on showcast and podcast follow-up. Join us on Facebook at Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and I will put the links to the two books that you mentioned today. And that being said, have a significant rest of the day.